Be holy.
Be holy is a broadcast ministry of believers dedicated to saving the souls of all men and women.
We teach the words of God that people all over the world may hear the voice of God and obey Him.
God doesn't want to show us His wrath or His anger. He just wants us to repent and be holy.
And after one repents, he or she can be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, but certainly not before they repent. Listen, we really can't even discuss prayer until one repents. Yes, hell is making its way towards the unrepentant heart, but it is Be Holy's commandment and mission to warn everybody, not to control, to warn.
The Word of God is spirit and it's life. That's why we take the Word of God seriously. We're not using shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We're not trying to trick anyone or change the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all those who are honest and live by truth, they know the truth, they realize that we are telling the truth.
Listen, friend, we've been preaching and teaching for over 20 plus years, and the Lord Jesus is satisfied with our efforts, and we want to keep it that way.
Next on Be Holy.
Be Holy.
All right, listen, we want to welcome everybody back to Be Holy. We're thanking everybody for your support. We're thanking everybody for downloading the broadcast from podbean.com. I never thought that it would grow like this, but hey, I'm just appreciative that people can actually get the audio, listen through it, listen back and forth, and let God tell you what to think. Not me. Let God tell you what to think. Today, we're going to talk about making that transition from being without God to being with God. And there are certain things in the front end of that transition that needs to happen, but for some reason, it hardly ever happens. It hardly ever happens. And we're going to talk about that today. Making that transition from being without God to being with God. It's amazing to me that churches don't teach it. Churches do not teach these things for some reason. I mean, you just think about it. How many churches actually teach the things that I'm actually bringing before you every week? I mean, really, they teach a lot of things. So some things are good, you know, but what I teach is what people avoid. I teach what people avoid because those are the things, the keys that people actually need. I don't do this to, you know, hear myself talk. I do it so that people have no excuse. I'm obedient to what God has to say. And so even though I can teach and preach and all that all day long, I could teach and preach for 24 hours a day. But if God don't open your ears to understand what I'm saying, it won't do you any good. And I realize that. But I'm obedient to doing the broadcast because God has given me that to do. He gives me the broadcast to do. There are people here who help me do the broadcast, and I appreciate them. The thing is, I have to say what God says, and all I can do is hope that you actually begin to understand it, that God actually gives you the ears to hear, the eyes to see, the mind to understand. That's all I can ever do. You know, I'm not here that you might join my church. I'm not here that you come along with me and we do this journey together. No, I would rather you do that journey with God so that you will be well informed in what needs to happen and God can actually begin to operate in your life. Now, the thing that we're going to talk about today is this. When you step away or you come away from being a sinner, there are a few things that has to happen. It's like your mind has to change. You don't just like, you know, at the end of service, the pastor or the deacons will come up and say, is there anyone who wants to join the church? Well, yeah, you can join the local building or local group, you know, but when you say you want to join church, you're talking about a spiritual event. You're talking about a spiritual event. And most churches don't want you to have a spiritual event because they wouldn't know what to do with you. They wouldn't know what to do with you if you really wanted to obey the Lord. If you really did what God said, if you really heard from the Lord, if you really had God revealing things to you about what you're supposed to be doing in your own life, and you became outspoken about what God has revealed to you, they wouldn't know what to do with you. And so the devil keeps a lot of churches from mentioning these things that we're going to read today. Does the devil go to church? Oh, yes. Yes. The devil goes to church. The devil himself will make sure, you know, if he can get in there, he'll make sure the preacher preaches the sermon that he wants the preacher to preach. He'll usually have it on an iPad or something and have it already written out before he gets there. And so, you know, God's not dealing with the preacher as he's talking to you when he's standing in front of you, which is the way it was done back in the day when God told him, don't start trying to figure out what you're going to say. You just get up there and say what I tell you. I'll give you what to say right then. But the devil, he will have us write down sermons and all that kind of stuff and write songs and have people, sinners, perform it. But listen, okay, let's go to St. James chapter 4. We'll start at verse 7. St. James chapter 4. And then we'll start at verse 7. So, verse 7. So, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the first thing. Humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourself before God and resist the devil. We'll deal with everything else after that. We'll deal with baptism. We'll deal with being filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll deal with all that later. Initially, what you're supposed to do is humble yourselves before God and resist the devil. Not humble yourself before the pastor or the preacher. No, you humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you resist him. So if you don't resist him, he's going to sit right there. Brother Nard, you don't know how far I've come. And I used to drink a case of beer every single day. Now I'm down to a case a week. No, sir. We got to resist the devil. The Lord don't want us drinking. No. We got to resist the devil. Brother Nard, I used to have 5 girlfriends. Now I got 1. And I'm trying to. No. Mm-mm. Brother Nard, I used to smoke a whole pack of cigarettes every hour. Now I'm down to smoking 1 cigarette a day. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. We have to resist the devil. And these are little simple sins. These are simple things. I'm not even getting into the things that shouldn't even be said on the radio. I'm not even going to get into those things, but you know what they are. You know, and God knows, and he's going to bring everything to light to you so that you can actually humble yourself before him and resist the devil, because you have to do that before we can even begin walking. You're not even humble yet. Forget fasting and praying and all that. Forget about all of that. Mm-mm. You got to humble yourself before God and resist the devil. That's where we start. Humble yourselves before God and resist the devil. Everybody knows where the devil is in their life. They you just know. You know where the devil is. You know how they always talk about the devil's in the details? You look in the details of your own life and you'll find the devil. I guarantee you. Nobody has to tell you that. That's not the preacher's job to come up there and shame you to stop sinning. No. You are supposed to humble yourselves before God and resist the devil. That's why the devil's in so many churches. The church has not resisted the devil. Most members of churches have not resisted the devil. So for every member of the church, there's a devil sitting there right there with them that they never resisted. And that's why your services are the way they are. That's why your services are the way they are. If God had to put people out of the room to heal them, if he put out doubters and stuff out of the room before he could heal somebody, what do you think about that? If that's what he did, matter of fact, here you go. He actually didn't go to certain cities because people didn't believe. He stayed away from those cities because they didn't believe. And when people don't believe, God can't help you. God can't help you when you don't believe. He can't. It talks about humble yourselves before God. Resisted it. First of all, you got to believe that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And then you start talking about humbling yourself. That means what God says goes. I don't understand everything. I just want God to lead me and guide me. And I'm going to stay away from sin until he shows me what I need to do. I'm going to stay away from sin. And if I find out anything else is sin, I'm going to resist that too. You're fighting a spiritual battle. That's what you're fighting. But most people in church have never heard this. And so all they've ever heard was they read it because, yes, it was in James. But they never applied it to their own lives. They never applied it. That's why preachers and deacons and churches struggle so much with memberships and people doing what they're supposed to do. The church isn't there to guide you and tell you what to do. The church is there for us to come together to worship God together. We find out what God wants sometimes at church, but for the most part, we're going to find out what God wants at home and riding in the car. God's going to reveal these things to us. And when he reveals those things to us, we have to respond to them. But if your church never told you that you have to humble yourself before God and resist the devil, if you never humbled yourself and you don't resist the devil, the devil is sitting right there with you in church, in your car, in your house, at your school, on your job, sitting right there with you. That's what it is. If we don't resist the devil is everywhere we go. That's why you're resisting him. You're trying to get him away from you. You're trying to stay away from sin. But most churches, you know, they struggle with memberships and getting people to do what they're supposed to do simply because the people never humbled themselves before God. And sure enough, they don't resist the devil. I mean, you just look at so many. I don't like telling people to watch television because half the television thing is not for the saints. It's for everybody else. It's not for the saints. But if you just look around on commercials and billboards and people, you'll see that there's nothing telling people to resist the devil. There's nothing telling them to resist the devil. And if the church don't tell you to resist the devil, how are you ever going to know that you need to be resisting the devil? How would you ever know that? Yes, you. How would you know that? If God's got to tell you and God hadn't told you yet and the church ain't telling you, how would you know that you're supposed to resist the devil? How would you know that you're supposed to humble yourself before God? How would you know that? Because your body's not going to want to do that. Listen, our bodies want to sin. Our bodies love sin. That's why the TV, they'll film things that they know that your body likes. The devil will have them film things that your body likes, that my body likes. But we got to go back to what God says. Humble yourself before God and resist the devil. That's the beginning of everything. Don't go past gold. Don't collect $200. Cancel Christmas. Easter's no more. Humble yourself before God and resist the devil. Your sin. And like I said before, I don't have to go through a line of sins for you to stop sinning. You know what you're doing is sin. You know. And if you don't want to know, you won't humble yourself before God and you sure enough won't resist the devil. And I'm not talking to you. But those of you who actually want to do what God says, we have to actually resist the devil as hard as that is, you know, because a lot of times you've been not resisting or the devil for so many ever years.
Be holy.
We're not going to any break. Don't even think about it. We're not going to any kind of break. We're going to sit right here talking about this. We have to resist the devil. And if you've been spending years upon years of non-resisting or not resisting the devil, and then for me to come out of the blue and tell you, you need to resist the devil, you're going to have a hard time with that. You're going to have a hard time with that. You do not, listen, nobody wants to resist the devil. Nobody wants to do that. God tells us to do that. That's how I know we don't want to do it, because if we wanted to do it, God wouldn't have to tell us to do it. You know how, listen, God don't tell us to sin, but we sin anyway, don't we? Well, we're not supposed to. The sons of God don't sin. But people, you know, okay, you never taught your child how to lie, but they know how to lie, don't they? And then you have to go back and tell them, don't lie. There you go. You can start with the Ten Commandments, and that'll help you resist the devil. Treating people right. Love God with your whole heart. Don't steal, don't kill, don't murder. Start there. Start with the Ten Commandments. It's so much stuff in here. It's so much stuff in here. If we don't start somewhere, we're never going to get it. And that's why the church is in its problem areas now, because nobody ever told us to resist the devil. They only told us to come to church. They told us to join the auxiliaries in the church. They told us to be a part of the Thanksgiving neighborhood dinner to draw people into the church. But why are you drawing more people into the church and you hadn't told the people that are in the church to withdraw from sin or to resist the devil? I mean, it's amazing to me how people do this. Now, verse number 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. How do I come close to God, Leonardo? Humbling yourself before God and resisting the devil. That's how you come close to God. Notice it ain't even gotten to prayer yet. Just humble yourself. You'll lead into the prayer, but you got to humble yourself first and resist the devil. But they'll pull in more children, more people, more everything. We're helping the homeless with this dinner. We're helping the community with this offering. We're doing this, we're doing that. You have all these things that we're doing, but we still haven't began to come close to God yet. We haven't. We just have not. We haven't come close to God. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Your loyalty is divided. That's why you have to humble yourself before God and resist the devil. Because if you don't, your loyalty was going to remain divided. And you're always going to be, well, should I do this or should I do that? There's always some kind of little, you know, how they make a little joke of there being an angel on one shoulder and a devil on another shoulder. You're always torn in the middle. You have to actually resist the devil. Let's read it again. Wash your hands, you sinners. Wash your hands. You remove the dirt. That's the whole resisting of remove the sin. Purify your hearts. Start thinking a whole nother way. Start thinking God's way. When it talks about hearts, it's not talking about your blood pumping heart. It's talking about your mind, how you think. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Later on, you'll find out that God tells us to hate the world. He tells us to hate the world. Have nothing to do with the world. Absolutely nothing. Nothing to do with it. I mean, I know it's going to be hard for you to do that because you're going to feel like you can't talk to your family. You can't this and you can't that. And you can't talk to your friends. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Nobody's telling you to do that. Just stay and resist the devil and stay away from sin. And you'll begin to hate what the world offers. Number 9, let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. When you first come to the Lord, that's how you feel. That's how you feel. You know, people will sit there and say, don't you feel bad that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And don't you feel bad that they mistreated him? That is not the point. That is not the point. It says here, let there be tears for what you've done, and let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. There's nothing funny and happy about when you come to the Lord, it seems like, because when you start thinking about what you have to put down and what you have to stop and what you have to put a stop to, it seems like a lot more work than what you bargained for. But see, if the church don't tell you that, if the preachers don't tell you this, then you'll give up because it'll be overwhelming. But if they tell you from the beginning that sooner when you come to the Lord, you're going to have to humble yourself and resist the devil, at least you know that and you have that in mind and you're really willing and ready to work at that when you do humble yourself. But what they do is they pull you up there trying to make you feel sad about the Jesus dying on the cross. And about time they get you feeling sad about that, they got a song to sing, and then the preacher put his hand out there to welcome you into the church. And then you feel like, man, that was relatively easy. I thought it was going to be harder than that. Because they will never tell you to resist the devil. They'll never tell you to humble yourself towards God, in front of God or before God, and resist the devil. They won't tell you that because they feel that you won't come back to church. They feel that you won't attend the church. But see, people who think like that, is their church, is not God's church. God's church is this. If God is coming back for a group of people who don't have a spot, wrinkle, or blemish or nothing, that's we got to at least look like that. We have to be that in order for him to come and get us. We have to at least be willing to do that. Spot, wrinkle, and blemish. No, we step away from sin. We resisted the devil. That's what made us clean. We got baptized. That washed away our sins. So we put the sin down and then we got washed away from sin. Remember it told you to wash your hands, sinner? That's what he's talking about. Get in there and get baptized after you have humbled yourself before the Lord. What did Acts 2 and 30 say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That means the Baptist, the Pentecostal got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The AME has to be baptized in Jesus Christ. The Catholic has to be baptized in Jesus Christ. Everybody. Seventh-day Adventist has to be baptized in Jesus Christ. All of them. No matter who you are, that's what you have to do. And if you're not willing to do that, you have not humbled yourself before the Lord. But hey, don't do anything that I'm telling you to do. Ask God to show it to you and then respond when God reveals it to you. And if he never reveals it to you, stay in the sin and stay where you are. Don't do anything. Stay exactly where you are. Don't do anything if God hadn't revealed it to you. That would stop a whole lot of foolishness in church from day to day, from Sunday to Sunday, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year. If we would just humble ourselves and follow God and only hear what he has to say. What did Jesus say? My sheep will hear my voice. He didn't say my sheep will read the Bible. He didn't say my sheep is going to go to seminary. He didn't say that. He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. They're going to hear me. Not just hear him, but they're going to actually understand what he reveals. Not an audible voice, but they're going to understand what he reveals. And you're not his sheep if we don't humble ourselves and resist the devil. Resisting the devil. I mean, even if you go to a restaurant and you see that they're not charging you enough for what your order is called for, instead of just driving off and saying, oh, well, it's their problem. No, I ask them, is that the right price? Because I think there's more than what you're charging me. No, we have a sale today. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm just making sure because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. I was at the movie theater and I had them bring me some ranch to go with my little chicken fingers. And so she was saying something about she wasn't able to give me the ranch because it's going to cost more or something like that. And she said, but I'll give you some. I said, no. If it's going to get you in trouble, don't do that. Don't do that. And so I ended up having to order something else so that I can get the more ranch. I can get more ranch because I ordered something else. So we have to resist the devil, even in little things like that, so that when the big things show up, we at least we have some inertia to go along with those words, that power. We have a rush to go with when we listen. If we feel comfortable saying no to the little things, we'll feel even more comfortable saying no to the big things. And we will be able to resist the devil, which is what God wants. He wants us to resist the devil. Now, most people don't want to resist the devil. I understand why, because sometimes what you've been doing all this time is wrapped up in the devil. It is all wrapped up in the devil. I understand that. But when God reveals it to you, you're going to have to step away from the devil. You're going to have to resist him. You're going to have to resist him. You're not going to be able to continue in the way that you're going. You're going to have to resist the devil and come close to God. See, because right now the devil has got his arms wrapped all around people before they come to God. They got his arms wrapped around them, hugging them, taking selfies and everything else. But when you pull away from the devil and you start going closer to God, now we're talking about something different. It's going to feel different. You're going to talk differently. You're going to think differently. Don't you know that? You're going to think differently. You're going to be able to love your husband better. You're going to be able to love your wife better. You're going to be able to love your children better. You're going to be able to do your job better. You're going to be able to take care of your car and your house and the people in your community better. You're going to be able to see other people in need and be able to do something about it better. But if we don't humble ourselves before God and resist the devil, we're not going to do anything. What could we do? I mean, really, if God don't tell us, or if God does tell us and we don't respond, what really can we do? We have no power. God has all the power. God has all the power. And if he has all the power, it's best we humble ourselves before him, resist the devil, and come close to God. And anybody else that you know, when they say, oh, I want to get in church. No, you humble yourself before God first and resist the devil, then join church. Because if you don't do that, what are you doing? You're faking. And we have enough of that. We have enough people faking. A lot of times they faking because they don't know any better, because the church never told them that they need to humble themselves before God. They just never, ever thought about that. They only ever thought that I just walk up to the front of the church and join the church and be a part of this group of people. I like everybody. I've been here for years. I'm just going to be a part, and that's it.
Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Join the discussion on Facebook at Be Holy Broadcast. Our Be Holy podcast is at Podbean, or contact us at beholy116@gmail.com or 614-268-7757. Thanks for listening to Be Holy with your host, Leonardo Butler. Tune in next week.
Be Holy.